the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she called the doctor, woke him up and said, Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, Doctor, do you believe this belly ache? I said, Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, Doctor.
Aloha. You're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. It's now time for Health Talk. Health Talk is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Compassionate Care, Garden Island Hydro, and Kauai Pharmacy.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at hawaiicompassionatecare.com.
Garden Island Hydro, assisting with all your growing needs. Nutrients, mediums, all-natural compost tea, lights, aquaponic and hydroponic components, systems, and setups. In the Puhi Industrial Park, Lihue. Family-owned and operated, open Monday through Saturday, 246-GROW, and online at gardenislandhydro.com.
Kauai Pharmacy, an organic herbal tea farm in Kilauea, serving locally grown organic loose leaf herbal tea, raw extracts, and more. Kauai Pharmacy Tea Wagon at Na'ainaho Community Park, just outside of Kauai Mini Golf in Kilauea. Open Tuesday to Friday from 11 to 4 p.m. and Saturday from 9 to 1. 828-6525, kauaipharmacy.com. KAUAIFARMACY.com.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
All right. Hello, Dove. Thanks for doing the show today. And it was really nice to hear that song again. I love that song.
All right.
So today we have a very, very special guest that I'm really excited about. His name is Dr. Sam Byrne, and he's been with us on Health Talk before. I can't remember if it was 1 year or 2 years ago. He's a doctor of optometry, and I personally would refer to him as a multifaceted holistic eye doctor. But he is a leader in the field of behavioral and neurodevelopmental optometry and vision therapy. For over 29 years, he is internationally known as an author and a researcher and teacher. And he is going to be joining us here on Kauai in a couple of weeks. But I believe he's on the phone right now. Are you on the phone?
Hi, Donna.
Hi. Nice to hear your voice on the show again.
Thank you. Yes, it's great to be back.
Yes, and so we're going to see you here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, towards the end of the month. I'm really excited about coming back.
Yeah, and what are you going to be doing this time? You're going to be here for just a couple of days, is that right?
Yeah, I'm going to be giving a workshop on Saturday, I believe it's the 28th, in Princeville. And it's a day where we're going to explore our vision. You know, how do we feel about our eyesight, and are we frustrated because our eyes are getting weaker as we get older, and things like that. And then I'm going to offer different techniques and my methods to help people open their vision.
Well, that is really, really wonderful. And it's just wonderful that you are here and that you've really dedicated your life work to holistic health and holistic eye health. And as a fellow holistic doctor, I know we both have the same goal, and that's to get at the root cause of what's going on. And it's just really inspiring that you are doing that with eye health and other kinds of health. So why don't you tell us about your philosophy in healing and your background and a little bit about what you do.
Okay, well, I earned a Doctor of Optometry 30 years ago, actually this year, And actually got my initiation when I was about 8 years old because I started to become nearsighted. I couldn't see the board at school. And I got several prescriptions, you know, over the years that most people get when they go through school. But when I graduated, I actually met a holistic eye doctor, and I completely reversed my nearsightedness in a process he called vision therapy, which was like using different techniques to improve vision and involve mind-body health. So that was like a real initiation for me to say, wow, you know, I learned this allopathic way of treating the eyes, you know, with pharmaceuticals and surgery, and I was able to heal my eyes and vision. So it started me on a very different path, and it was a path called behavioral optometry, which is a holistic specialty that uses a series of techniques that improve the eye-brain-body connection. But then what happened was I started to work with all these different kinds of patients, you know, from traumatic brain injury and infants with crossed eyes and kids with autism, and that led me to go back to massage school, study craniosacral therapy, and then I got into working with people at heavy metal toxicities. So I started to use different herbal and plant-based medicines to help detox those. And, you know, then I started to work with the dolphins because I've been working with trauma and the brain, and I brought up a group of people to Bimini, Bahamas to swim with the dolphins for a week, and that was really life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just goes on and on. I guess I would describe myself as using the eyes as a portal for balancing our systemic and spiritual health. And, you know, like studying traditional Chinese medicine, we know the liver rules the eyes. And in craniosacral therapy, we know that the sphenoid bone and the occipital affect, you know, how the eyes sit in the orbit. So it's a very holistic, cutting-edge approach. And as you know, it takes one to know one, being a pioneer in the field of holistic health. It's a road less traveled, but very exciting.
It is very exciting. It's to witness people transforming in front of your eyes, right?
It's very
inspiring work.
Well, one of the things that I like to teach is that, you know, people will come to me for a symptom, and, you know, the old model is, well, doctor, fix my symptom. And so probably like you, I engage people and try to connect them to their own biointelligence for healing. And, of course, I do it through the eyes. You do it through other ways. But it's really cool to see, like, a 65-year-old reverse their cataracts without any surgery or regain their driver's license when they got the diagnosis of macular degeneration, or help a child avoid eye muscle surgery by teaching them how to use their eyes together. So, yeah, I have hundreds and hundreds of stories about the success.
Well, that's wonderful. Do you wanna share some right now? You wanna share a story?
Well, yeah. I have actually, this is a case that I've been working with. This is a fellow who he just came in today to the office. He was diagnosed with a retinal detachment, and he was a lawyer. He was writing a book, and he had two retinal detachments, and his eyes all swelled up after the surgery, so he had constant double vision. Mm. So he was referred to me by a homeopath, and basically what I did is I balanced his lens prescription, I reduced it, and we put scotch tape on the inside part of his glasses, which forced his eyes to spread to more peripheral vision. And he went home and he started using the computer, and he called me and said, my goodness, my double vision is almost gone. And so, you know, I gave him different exercises and also prescribed color therapy for the eyes to open up his visual field. And again, I just saw him today. This was 3 months ago this happened. He's like flying. He's doing so well. Double vision completely gone. His new book is coming out. His health is coming back. So that was a really, it was kind of a court of last resort because he had nowhere else to go, and it was great to be able to help him regain that.
He must be so grateful.
Yeah, he is.
It's not fun to be having double vision.
Yeah, double vision is a really hard one because, you know, when the eyes are not working together and you get double, it's very confusing for the brain, and it affects your memory, affects your posture, movement, balance. couldn't drive, you know, and so yeah. So that was one case that was quite revealing, and just in a few months he was able to turn it around.
That's wonderful. Now, you were saying that you were able to heal your own eye issues naturally, is that correct?
Yes. So I want to bring out to people, one of the things that I like to share is that we want to blame faulty vision on a deteriorating eyeball, but it's not the eyeball's fault. It's the programming behind the eyes that causes the eyes to deteriorate. So in my own case, when I was 8 years old, I was learning how to read. I was confused. I didn't understand what's going on out there. I actually pulled my eyes in, my vision in, blurred it out. My mind told my eyes, gee, I'm really sensitive, I'm scared. And so I went to the eye doctor, and he basically validated my own programming. So any lens that we get from a doctor based on reading the eye chart is basically just a readout of the programming that we're doing to ourselves mm-hmm. through our eyes,
right.
adaptive response. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's to treating a symptom. So in my own case, when I met this doctor in my late 20s, he was into yoga and meditation and nutrition. And I realized that, you know, 10% of seeing is in the eyes, 90% of seeing is behind the eyes. So he got me to discover the 90% behind the eyes, and then my eyes actually reverse the need to be in that position anymore. And
now,
had
you already received your doctor of optometry?
Yes, uh-huh. I had already received it,
uh-huh.
and I'd spent a lot of money, of course, in getting that.
Of course.
And that was very much the allopathic model. So when
right.
I worked with this other doctor, it was kind of an identity crisis, because then I was like, well, okay, do I follow what I learned in school, or do I follow what I experienced? And of course, I had to follow what I experienced, and that was
mm-hmm.
the start of something much bigger than I knew at the time. And
mm-hmm.
I ended up opening a practice in a very allopathic area in Philadelphia, and I couldn't get any patients. So this is where I went to the hospitals, and I said, I have this physical therapy that I can offer your patients with double vision and balance and memory problems. And the physiatrist said, you know, come on in. And after 3 months getting all kinds of results with my physical therapy, then I started to get a lot of patients. And after about 5 years there, I actually had a dream that I needed to move to Santa Fe, New Mexico, where my current practice is. And so that started that. And I had to follow that. So that was really interesting. And I think if my vision had remained nearsighted, I think that limitation would have blocked me from following that dream.
Mm-hmm.
So when we open our vision and kind of change that patterning, because our eyes really like that kind of patterning, you know, especially when we get lenses or, you know, the way we use our eyes, it's difficult for us to step out of, you know, what our normal routine is. And I've seen so many people change their job, their relationship, their location, when they improve their vision. So it's very much a physical, emotional, spiritual
mm-hmm.
connection. It isn't just...
Right, it's synergistic, isn't it?
Synergistic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all connected. And, you know, go ahead.
So when you see children, you know, 3 years old, 5 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old, suddenly needing to get a prescription, would you say that usually that has to do with some kind of trauma or some kind of negative belief that has brought them to have this change in their eyes?
Well, one of the places that I went to after I got my doctor of optometry degree was a place called the Gazelle Institute, and at the time was affiliated with Yale, and I spent a year there learning about child development and how to treat children who had deteriorating eyesight from a more holistic place. And it was started by Arnold Gazelle, MD, who was a child researcher. And so when I evaluate a child, we have a very lengthy developmental history that actually asks things about gestation, birth, and delivery, and bonding and attachment, that those three preverbal experiences have a strong effect on our sensory motor development. So if there's been any interference in those areas, then it begins to affect our eyes, our ears, our motor skills. So when I evaluate a child, I'm testing much more than the 20/20 eye chart. 20/20 is seeing a 1/3 inch letter at 20 feet, and that's your eyesight. But vision is much more than that, you know, how well the eyes track together, focus, coordinate, So what happens with a child is that we look at these developmental milestones, and we look at it from not only a fine motor, like the eye plays, but also from the gross motor, how well they balance, what their bilateral movement skill is, what their vestibular and their visual connection is. I even go back to something called the primitive survival reflexes, which are early infant reflexes that should be extinguished by about age one. And the purpose of those reflexes is to help us adjust to coming out of the birth canal. A lot of kids with eyesight problems still have those primitive reflexes. So those are reptilian responses, survival responses. So I'm looking a lot at a child's movement as it relates to their eyes. And then I prescribe based on that. And a lot of times we'll prescribe, we call them developmental lenses, which actually relax the eyes in terms of reading, and it opens up the peripheral vision, and that can be very helpful. But I'm very conservative about prescribing any kind of lens because I don't want to create a dependency or a weakness, which is what most eyeglass or contact lens prescriptions, what they do for people.
Yes. And I've experienced that myself. Getting older and needing reading glasses, and I don't use reading glasses. I would put them on, and it would make my vision more blurry when I took them off. And I thought, nah, this isn't good. I'm just gonna try to strengthen my eyes. So
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're talking about a condition called presbyopia. And what's really happening there is we're losing the flexibility of our ciliary muscles in the lens of the eye. And so we start wearing these magnifying glasses, and actually that disconnects us from our eye muscles even more. And as you say, it's very distorting. And when we take them off, our eyes are weaker. So it makes our muscles stop working.
Mm-hmm.
One of the techniques I use is actually having people read with pinhole glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, that actually regains their ciliary muscles, where they're amazed that they can actually focus through these little pinhole glasses and read the smallest print. And there are also different techniques to strengthen and improve the flexibility of the muscles. But I have many patients that I get them out of bifocals and trifocals. I mean, they're the worst. The progressive lenses only allow you to see through a tiny, narrow window down the middle of the lens. So it actually trains you to block your peripheral vision, which is the most important part of your visual system.
This is the pinhole glasses that you're talking about?
Well, the pinhole glasses help improve your vision, but what I was talking about is the progressive lenses, which are the invisible bifocals that doctors prescribe, so you don't have the line. You know, if you need somebody
to gradual.
Reading,
it's gradual. Gradual.
Uh-huh. They're on a functional level, they will weaken your eyes faster than any prescription that you can wear. Plus, it puts stress on your cervical spine and your cranial rhythm. So I always try to get people out of those as quickly as possible. But yeah, the pinhole glasses are a great alternative to the magnifiers that you get in the drugstore. And you're right, as you strengthen your eyes, then you don't need those magnifiers. And I mean, that's so incredible when I see this in my practice. People in their 50s, 60s, that are reversing their need for reading glasses. And I mean, that's unheard of. But I've always been out of the box and always been unconventional and looking for different new ways to help my patients, just like you.
So with the pinhole glasses, what would be your initial prescription? Are they to wear them all day long or just for a few minutes or 10 minutes?
Okay. So what I would recommend is if you're going to get a pair of those, I would wear them maybe for about 10 minutes and try to read through it. You'll probably be pretty amazed that you can see the print very clearly. So you're going to have to move your eyes a lot in order to, you know, do a lot of reading.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I would do is I would take the pinholes off, and I would notice if I could maintain that same level of focus that the pinholes are teaching me to do. Mm-hmm. And then I maybe put them back on another 10 minutes and maybe do that for a half hour. And, it, you know, depending on how much reading material you have, you could do that throughout the day. What I like to do is have people wear it for a while, take it off, notice the difference, try to learn something from it, put it back on for a short period of time, mm-hmm. and just repeat that.
Great. Now, you were talking about the loss of the ciliary muscles of the eye mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. the decreasing ability to focus. So, of course, that is going to have to do with nutrition. It's going to have to do with toxicity. And like you said, in Chinese medicine, the liver has a lot to do with the eyes. And I'm just wondering about these artificial lenses that they're putting in people's eyes and what your opinion and experience is.
So I think what you're referring to is the plastic lenses, the intraocular lens that they put in when you have cataract surgery. Is that what you're referring to?
I believe so. But they actually are adjusting the person's vision.
I get it. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What are those called? What are those called?
Well, they might be called multifocal lenses.
So,
you bring up a great point, which is one of my main reasons to advocate people holding on to their original lenses. So, our lenses, when we're born and, you know, as we develop around age 20, it takes that long, there's a pigment that develops in the lens of the eye that blocks the blue-white light, which is very damaging to the macula. And when you have any kind of lens replacement, whether it's these multifocal lenses, which I'll talk about in a minute, or just a regular intraocular lens, those plastic lenses don't have that pigment for protection.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why those people are more susceptible to macular degeneration, because they don't have the blue-white blocking agent in the regular lens, but they're not told that before the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that with the eyes, we really see with the brain. And whenever you do any kind of surgical procedure, and if you're going to put in a multifocal lens, it can be very confusing for the brain to figure out, well, how do I adapt or adjust to that? You know, the eye surgery is one of the only surgeries I know where they don't advocate physical therapy after. And that would be a really good place to offer physical therapy for the eyes to help the person re-educate or relearn how to use this new optical system.
Mm-hmm.
So the multifocal lens can be successful for sure in terms of, you know, not needing a bifocal. But I find with a lot of people, they're very confused about how to use it. And there can be some other side effects like disorientation, blurred vision, glare,
mm-hmm.
Things like that. So I think the bottom line is that the lens of the eye is a real potential place for metabolic waste accumulation called free radical damage. And this is where the eye is made up of mostly microcapillaries, that help us oxygenate and hydrate. And the better the oxygenation, the better the energy of the cell that's able to push the metabolic waste away from those vulnerable areas like the lens of the eye, the macula of the eye, which relies on indirect blood supply. So like for the lens of the eye in terms of nutrition, and I'm sure you've got some great things too, glutathione is really important for a healthy lens. Vitamin C, you know, selenium, all the trace minerals. And any way that you can oxygenate and hydrate your eyes as they age reduces the metabolic waste accumulation. Floaters mm-hmm. is another issue that comes up for people as they age, and that's related a lot to liver qi stagnation.
Mm-hmm.
If you do a liver cleanse or something like that, a lot of times those floaters will go away.
That's true.
So, yeah, the eye really, as you know, needs a lot of antioxidants, and that metabolic waste can accumulate pretty quickly in those sensitive areas.
Mm-hmm. And just bringing it, you know, back to a further cause of, I see so many people who are actually malnourished because they're not, for different reasons, they're not absorbing their nutrients. They're not absorbing their protein, their nutrients, their minerals. So I would say so many people are having an issue with this, and so it's going to affect everything, including the eyes.
I mean, would you say also that that people are running on adrenal exhaustion or adrenal burnout? Is that
yes, that is so common. That is so common. Yes.
One of the things I would add about the adrenal situation is that I can tell a person's adrenal situation based on their pupil response.
Right.
And so when a person has light sensitivity and their pupils don't constrict, I can pretty much say they've got at least adrenal, burnout or insufficiency.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So back to the lens of the eye. So you were saying, you know, glutathione, vitamin C, selenium, trace minerals. Is there any other way that you would treat?
Well, yes. There's several ways that we could go with it. Number one, if we're just talking about, are we talking about an eye disease particularly, or are we just talking more prevention? So more specifics, and then I could probably tailor.
Yeah, I was talking about prevention, but whatever you feel called to talk about will be really informative, I'm sure.
Okay, so in terms of prevention, I know this goes against maybe what's out there in the news, but getting a proper sunlight diet is very important. Mm-hmm. Now, this does not mean that you stare at the sun necessarily, although there are those practices. I'm more middle of the road, and certainly sunglasses can be used in Hawaii, as in New Mexico, the sun's pretty strong. But it's very important to get out and get that light every day, because light is a food. And we actually need small amounts of UV that actually stimulates the vitamin D absorption and the immune system. So light is very important as part of our diet. Mm-hmm. And then also in doing that, when you go outside, to really take in the different colors so that, you know, a lot of times, if we're so busy, we're not even aware of color, but I found over the years that I have different light machines and different ways to help people improve their ability to absorb color into the eyes. And that has a profound effect on stimulating the photoreceptors of the retina and stimulating all the eye tissue. So that would be a second thing is, you know, take a few moments when you're outside and absorb that green, or if it's the sunrise or the sunset, absorb the reds and the oranges and the yellows. Very mm-hmm. important. For the hypothalamus, as an example, or the pineal.
Dr. Sam, would you recommend in doing that to take off your sunglasses?
Oh, definitely. You want to do that without any lenses whatsoever.
Right.
Okay, absolutely. And, again, it can be indirectly, so I'm not saying stare into the sun. And, you know, I teach people to kind of what is their comfort zone when they do go outside. You know, some people are extremely light sensitive, so you can wear a hat, that's fine. But, you know, we are made of light, we're made of photons, and so, yes, you take the sunglasses off, let the light in. It's very important for balancing our autonomic nervous system, our endocrine system. So that's free, that's easy to do. I also think what I see is a lot of dry eye. I don't know whether you see that in your practice. And
I do.
First thing you do, yeah. And the first thing that comes to mind is, of course, the sympathetic parasympathetic balance and how much oils and fats are we getting in the diet. And then are we getting the proper tear production? There's an ointment that I use, and I think I've introduced it to you. It's called Vitamin A. It's an ophthalmic ointment that you can actually get on the North Shore of Kauai, and that we use that before bed. for chronic dry eye, and it's very soothing, very helpful. Their eye drops called MSM drops, which are highly oxygenating and don't have the regular preservatives in it that actually dry your eyes even more. But that's really related a lot to stress.
Mm-hmm. And then some people, of course, have side effects to medications that they're on.
Oh, my goodness. Yes,
that
of course.
Can affect the dryness.
Mm-hmm. And then I think what you bring up about dietary absorption is a big one, because then you have, when you have better dietary absorption, you have better, you know, energy for the detoxification, the immune system's better, and the eyes are so sensitive to those imbalances in the, you know, intestinal tract, and, you know, things like candida and parasites and the low protein absorption, you know, like you're talking about. So that's where it gets a little more individualized. I also think that it's really great in non-threatening and non-demanding situations, and I want to emphasize those, is to take off your habitual prescriptions and just be in the blur. There's something about blur that actually can be very relaxing to your eyes, and actually there's a saying that I use, the more you go into your blur, the clearer your eyesight will become. Mm-hmm. And to take off that habit that you've been given, that lens that is fixing your eyes in that one position, if you do that on a regular basis, you're going to find that your eyesight starts to get better and your prescription is going to be too strong for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a simple idea, and then you can go back to your doctor and say, hey, you know, can you make this adjustment? I think these are a little too much for me. So that's a really easy way to do it.
Be in the blur.
Be in the blur. Now, yeah. You don't want to do that when you're driving.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, like I was working with a lady today, and she was given what we call a monovision prescription, one eye corrected for distance, one eye corrected for reading. That's another really debilitating optical system that you're asked to look through, because you have to split yourself. And so she developed a vitreous detachment based on, you know, overusing the eyes. So today we were working with taking her contacts off, giving her the same prescription in each eye, making it reduced, and having her process the blur. Mm-hmm. And she discovered that in the blur, she was softer, more receptive, more open, more intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
And then she put on her regular glasses and went, oh my goodness, these are way too strong for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an epiphany for her in
mm-hmm.
10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, be in the blur. Love the blur. Surrender into the blur. And that's how your eyesight clears, because we're always avoiding the blur or avoiding dizziness or avoiding nausea around the eyes. And in my workshops, we do this fun little activity where we give people reverse prescriptions or prism glasses. So it makes them a little blurry or makes them a little disoriented, and it relaxes their eyes and relaxes their body. I remember in massage school, one of the statistics my teacher told me was that up to 40 to 60% of body tension is carried in our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a lot of tension.
That's a lot.
I can see it based on the smartphone and the tablet and all the, you know, the near focusing. And so look at the horizon, look up and out, and get into the big picture.
Well,
these are simple things.
I mean, people are on their cell phones and their computers and their tablets all day, and even right before bedtime.
Yeah, and you know, there's a whole thing now. I don't know whether you've seen this and get your opinion on this, but we're getting more and more EMF, you know, sensitivity. And one of the things I begin correlating is, the more a person has heavy metal toxicity, the more those metals are like a conduit for the EMF sensitivity.
Right.
And it makes sense, doesn't it? Yes.
It does make sense that it's going to conduct more.
It's going to conduct,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing it a lot with the eyes, because there's a major deterioration in, you know, our ability to focus and, you know, see. And so a lot of it's related to those electromagnetic electronic devices that, you know, put us in a 2D world instead of a 3D world, and it's a lot of visual confinement there. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How would you say, can you, well, actually, before I ask you that question, I just wanted to go back to the vitamin A ointment. And so, and you were talking about that for dry eyes. So how do you prescribe that? Is it putting it around the auricle of the eye or on the eyelids? How do you?
Okay. Yeah, so it's got to be made by a compounded pharmacy. It's a 1500 IU ophthalmic ointment. And basically, you just take a little dab of it, and you put it under the lower lid. So you're putting it, you know, in the eye, but on the lower lid, and just a tiny amount. And then you can close your eyes and just kind of rub very lightly the lids with your eyes closed just to spread it around. And, of course, the cornea needs a lot of vitamin A, beta carotene. And what I find is it just kind of soothes the cornea. A lot of people will be complaining, gee, there's dirt in my eye when I'm blinking or sand in my eye. Mm-hmm. And the cornea is made up of a lot of tiny nerve endings that get raw because the tears are not covering the cornea. So the vitamin A is there to kind of help cover the cornea. And nighttime, middle of the night, is an area where people's eyes dry even more. So it's just a little bit before bed. And then if there's more dry eye during the day, maybe a tiny bit more, say like 2 or 3 in the afternoon. I mean, I've got stories about people who have such severe dry eye that it's so painful. And, you know, what's out there in terms of what's being prescribed is only Band-Aid or symptom approach.
Mm-hmm. Right. Could you mention again the concentration of vitamin A?
Yeah, it's 1500 IU. Some ophthalmic ointment. You do need a prescription for it, and I believe Northside Pharmacy does carry it. When I last was in Kauai, we had looked at an arrangement where they were able to make it.
Right.
That's an awesome pharmacy, yeah.
It's an awesome pharmacy.
For a person, yeah. I'm sure you come along.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Can you talk a little more about how our eyes, there's so much to talk about here, but how our eyes affect the brain and how vision affects the brain and whatever you feel would be informative?
Well, about 2 weeks after conception, we've seen this in different ultrasound photographs and things like that, that the eyes actually grow out from the brain tissue. So when we work with the eyes, we're working with brain tissue. So we need to just say that right off the bat. And in the brain, since the eyes are the brain, that in vision we have the input, how much information we take in, which goes to the optic nerve and back to different aspects of the brain. Then we have the processing and we have the output. And, of course, we have different parts of the brain. We have the downstairs brain, which is the reptilian brain, and then the upstairs brain, which is more of the, you know, prefrontal cortex. And then we have the hemispheres of the brain, the right side and the left side of the brain. What's interesting, in terms of the right eye, if we kind of go into that for a minute, the right eye, about 80% of the nerve fibers cross over to the left brain. So the right eye is more left brain driven, and the left eye is more right brain driven.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we kind of explore how the two eyes are working together, I kind of kid people and say, well, the right eye is Harry and the left eye is Sally, and what's the marriage like between them? And a lot of times when we ask that question, people go, my right eye and left eye are married? They're really working together? Come on. And, you know, that's the unified inner marriage of the masculine and feminine.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the eyes, the better we absorb information, the better our visual memory is. And, of course, the visual cortex is part of that. Another piece that I would bring in, and this came out a lot this weekend, I was doing an aromatherapy certification course. Essential oils is another part of my practice, is the connection of the eyes to the limbic brain.
Mm-hmm.
And the limbic brain, you know, our trauma center, our amygdala, and working with a lot of traumatic brain injury over the years. The brain has incredible neuroplasticity, and the eyes are part of that. That's why when you go to a doctor and they say, oh, it's only going to get worse and there's nothing more you can do, that hasn't been my experience. I find that the eyes can regenerate, the brain can regenerate, mm-hmm. and my work is to help people reconnect to how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Would you say there's a connection to, or have you seen a connection to memory loss and Alzheimer's?
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's quite a interesting topic, and you know what you brought up about the heavy metal toxicities, and you know I think the big three are stress, trauma, and toxicity, and you know I think the jury is still out in terms of the cause and effect, but you know just in my own, and I'm not a specialist in Alzheimer's, but do see a lot of elders, mm-hmm. and I will say that when I'm able to stimulate their vision, that their cognitive abilities start to return, the memory starts to return, the balance gets better.
Beautiful.
So it's, and I'm sure you find this too, if you can give the body more energy and, you know, the eyes more energy, there's so much vastness in the brain that we're not using, mm-hmm. that it's only upside there.
So a lot of elderly people are wearing bifocal glasses. So would you see a connection there?
Well, you know, what bifocals do is they harden the eye tissue because, you know, it forces you to look through a very tiny window. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a saying I like to use, instead of looking through a hole, which is what those bifocals are, see the hole. And what I find with the bifocals especially is that they accelerate the aging process in the eye tissue. So there's much less responsiveness. Since the eyes are so connected to the mind and our thinking, that's, you know, it's going to start showing up in a person's mental responsiveness. And then it shows up in their posture. I don't know if you've ever tried, you probably haven't, but to walk down stairs or a curb using bifocals, it's horrifying because, you know, it's very confusing. So I get people out of bifocals pretty quickly. We get them into two different pairs of glasses, and if they have to use the bifocals, just use them, you know, when they need that near-far focusing. It's better to use a bigger lens, a bigger aperture to look through, because your system's going to be more open and relaxed. Depth perception's going to be better. Memory's going to be better. Balance is going to be better. So, and then if we talk about those transition lenses, that's even more of a compression and a narrowing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, let's go back to floaters. You mentioned that floaters often have to do with liver qi stagnation. So I thought it would be great to talk more about the connection of the liver.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, this past weekend at our aromatherapy class, one of our students was an acupuncturist on Kauai, and we were talking a lot about this eye protocol I use around the eyes with essential oils to open up the vitreous, which is the jelly-like part of the eye. Mm-hmm. And there are three essential oils that I like to use, but actually... they activate the points I was using were activating the stomach, the intestine, the liver. So you don't put the essential oils around the eyes, but above and below and around. And they're highly oxygenating and hydrating. And so the three that I was using were sweet fennel, great for digestion, carotene, all kinds of vitamins and minerals there, and frankincense. Mm-hmm. And so you layer them one on top of the other, and if you do that two or three times a day, what begins to happen is any blockage, either in the meridian or the liver itself or the eye area, anywhere along there, begins to clear out those floaters. And, you know, it may take a few weeks or even a month, but you begin to reduce that congestion, you know, and it's basically free radical collection. You were talking about heavy metal toxicities. I find a lot of people that I test have those heavy metals. The dentistry you know, if people have mercury in their mouth, there's a lady I'm working with now, mm-hmm. it's got a lot of mercury, it's leaching out, and right. she has a lot of floaters. So, you know, I would say, you know, probably in your practice, you would probably do great changing floaters by using your methods of whether you liver cleanse or liver support or whatever your methods are, gallbladder, and it, you'd probably clear out a lot of these eye problems quite right. beautifully.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of focus on the health of the liver, and you can have all degrees of levels of toxicity of the liver, as you know. And as well, what you call the stuck liver chi can be an energetic blockage. So so there are all levels. And what I find is that often a person's not just heavy metals or other, you know, chemical toxicities or, you know, not eating an organic diet can create a lot of chemicals that will affect the liver and the whole body. But we're also talking about foods and what we're mm-hmm. eating, and are we drinking mm-hmm. coffee and alcohol? Do we have food sensitivities? A lot of people sure. are unaware that food sensitivities are causing leaky gut syndrome or intestinal permeability, sure. which then leads to more liver toxicity.
Sorry. And I would add to that, that is so right on, is the emotional component,
yes.
Anger and resentment and holding on to things. And I've had people that have had major emotional releases in that area, and their eyes clear up, and they can't wear their prescription anymore because they got that prescription when they were in an angry state.
Mm-hmm. And that's an excellent point. And a lot of people don't realize, they might say, well, I might bring it up, and they might say, well, you know, I don't have anyone in my life right now that I'm angry with. You know, I have a good relationship with my partner and with my kids. But often that person has some level of frustration with themselves that they may not be aware of, and that can create a liver imbalance.
Well said. Absolutely. You know, there's so many layers and levels to it. Sometimes I feel like I'm a CSI detective where I have to kind of keep talking and probing, and then the person will kind of tell me if I'm listening.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fascinating to put it together and then, you know, start to.
It is,
you know,
fascinating to put
yeah.
it together, and it takes time. It's more than a 5 or 10 minute office visit, isn't it?
Well, it is. You know, I remember going out to lunch with one of my colleagues a few years ago, and he said to me, how could you spend an hour or an hour and a half with a person? And I looked at him and I said, how can I not spend an hour,
right.
an hour and a half? You know, we're working with the whole person. We're not just, it's, you know, and in my field, because of the managed care and the insurance and the Medicare, you know, I understand that. I had a big office at one point in my career, and there's that financial pressure and the overhead. But, you know, going back to the old doctoring, it's the way I need to do it. I couldn't do it any other
mm-hmm.
way.
Good for you. So, there's so many things that we can talk about. I know I just wanted to mention with floaters that a lot of people, when they first get floaters, as I'm sure is your experience, they're afraid that something's wrong with their eyes. And do you want to talk about that?
Well, you know, there's so much fear wrapped up around our eyes.
Yes.
Because we get such an immediate feedback, and yet, I have to say it's a place that we're pretty disassociated from until we get that alarm or wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
I always say that the eyes are kind of, when we get those symptoms, they're hidden messages underneath of a deeper systemic imbalance, that something is out of harmony. And, you know, whether it's I'm getting a fog over my eyes or, you know, like the floaters, like you were saying. And I think, you know, if listeners can get one thing today, I would say that, you know, there are so many different methods to improve your eyes and vision. And, you know, the thing that when you get a floater, one of the things that you're looking for in addition to that is if you get the flashing lights along with that. So then at that point, you want to have your retina checked, because that could be a possible either vitreous detachment or retinal detachment. So, you know, you need to pay attention to that. But, you know, because of that direct feedback and the emotional survival, I mean, oh, my goodness, hundreds of people that would come to me and say, you know, I'll lose my independence, I'm not going to be able to drive, you know, my career, I mean, it's, a lot is wrapped up into that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm more like a psychologist sometimes, even though I'm not, and
mm-hmm.
I help people seek out support in that area. I find that the cranial work is very good because it penetrates our kind of primary defenses, and it really gets to a core level of relaxation and balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I have so many people that will say to me after a while, you know, I had a patient who was a psychiatrist who was developing Parkinson's, and it was affecting his eyes. They actually did Botox injection on his eyes, which I never recommend. Very painful.
Mm-hmm.
After 3 months working with him, he said, you know, I still have my Parkinson's, but it's not running me. It's not owning me anymore. And, you know, that's with anything. If, you know, you have more resource in yourself than in terms of health and wellness, that, you know, even if these conditions are there, that you're able to navigate it and you have the self-regulating mechanisms, the self-regulating techniques to get out of the stress, to get out of the fear. And, you know, I'm sure you have really good ways, too, to help people self-regulate better. And that's a key point.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about cataracts and what your approaches are to
sure.
cataracts?
So with cataracts, as I said, the lens of the eye is basically a translucent proteinaceous tissue that relies on blood supply indirectly. And it's a really vulnerable area for metabolic waste collection of free radical damage. There's a great eye drop out there by Natural Ophthalmics, and it's called Cineraria. And this homeopathic eye drop mm-hmm. has been proven to help dissolve early-stage cataracts. It takes 3 to 6 months, and the eye drops are not expensive. And so that's an easy one.
Mm-hmm.
There's another eye drop. It's actually from Colorado, and it's got DMSO in it. I don't know how you feel about that, but it's got all these nutrients that help dissolve cataracts. And
this is an eye drop.
It's an eye drop,
mm-hmm.
and. It was invented by an ophthalmologist, actually, and the pharmacy is College Pharmacy. You can Google it, cataract reversing drops from College Pharmacy, to find out what's in it. It's got glutathione in it. There's another eye drop that's similar to it. It's sister with vitamin C in it. So those are really easy, simple ways that, you know, in terms of the eye drops, the essential oil protocol I talked about. Sometimes we use that. And then I have a technique that it's a microcapillary or vascular therapy that actually it's a pad that you wear over your eyes, and you treat yourself 8 minutes twice a day. It's also a mat you lie on. And it actually increases the microcapillary circulation in the eye area. And I've had several patients using all of these combinations reverse their cataracts. And I also think the diet is very important. I look a lot at dietary absorption and also carbohydrate metabolism. What I'm finding is that people's sugars hang around in the blood that they're
yes.
not able to metabolize. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that leads to candida and other issues. And I will also say the heavy metal toxicities is a contributing factor to cataracts as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of ways to reverse the cataracts. And again, back to the having that pigment that blocks the blue-white light, to be able to have that in your lens is really great. And so, you know, I've had pretty good success reversing early to moderate stage cataracts, and there's a lot out there for people.
Should we talk about glaucoma?
Sure. So glaucoma is a very interesting condition that, you know, there are different kinds of glaucoma. There's open-angle glaucoma, there's narrow-angle glaucoma, there's glaucoma where the eye pressure is normal. But the key with glaucoma, which is some lymph imbalance in the eyes, there's a lymph issue, circulation issue in terms of the fluid being able to be circulated properly, is the protection of the optic nerve. And I've got to tell you, I've had so many patients with optic nerve deterioration or damage that looked like glaucoma that was actually toxicity in the body. I would also say trauma, head trauma, whiplash, anything that distorts the optic nerve is going to create the damage there that can look like, you know, glaucoma. It's an interesting condition to diagnose it because there's so many factors involved. You know, and there's the surgical approach, which kind of opens up the circulation. They call it iridectomy. And then there are eye drops, pharmaceutical eye drops, which have some pretty serious side effects. I think lymph drainage is good. Craniosacral is great. We have found in Chinese medicine that glaucoma is related a lot to lung, kidney stagnation. And then doing lots of supportive things to improve the optic nerve circulation, whether through color therapy, through nutrition, through the vascular therapy that I was talking about. But if you're diagnosed with glaucoma, the key is protecting and enhancing the optic nerve. That's critical.
And would you also use your essential oil eye protocol that you talked about for that?
Oh, absolutely. It's great because the essential oils, because of the high oxygenating, hydrating capability of those, the optic nerve, you know, they just drink that up. So, yes, absolutely. I think another thing that's really great for the optic nerve, and there's actually a company called Science-Based Health, and they put out an optic nerve formula that has lots of oils in it. You know,
lots of what? I'm sorry?
Oils.
Oils,
like omega-3, omega-6, the primrose, and if you're vegetarian, you know, you can get around that. But I think the optic nerve needs a lot of fats. And so that's just to check that off your list to make sure that you're getting enough of those in your diet is another key factor.
Good fats. Good fats. Yeah. Good non-toxic
good
fats.
Good non-toxic fats, which are hard to come by. But, you know, we've been promoting even people making their own almond milk and their own nuts and seeds. You know, drinks where they're getting really good organic, non-GMO.
Yes.
Oh,
wonderful.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So that's really because it's difficult to get that. Yeah, I understand.
Well, I am very sorry that our time is coming to an end because we have so much more to talk about. We were going to talk about your work with the dolphins and more about children and learning issues and attention deficit disorder. We have so much to talk about. And so we're just going to have you come back.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to be back in October, we had talked about, so we'll figure out a date.
Yeah, that'll be great. We'll actually get you here in person in the studio.
Yes,
that'll be wonderful. So we did have a caller earlier on who wanted your website and the name of your book or books. I know you've had.
All right.
Yeah.
So just easiest is www.drsamberne.com, and if you go there, there's a wealth of information about podcasts and free podcasts and all kinds of articles and interviews and videos. The two books I would recommend, three books, I Sense at Play in the Field of Healing, that's my new book. Creating Your Personal Vision is a book that I wrote in 1994 and just rewrote it a few years ago, has different techniques on how to improve your eyes. And then my book, Without Ritalin, The Natural Approach to ADD, if you want to learn more about children and development and all that. And, yeah, look me up and call me or send me an email. I'd love to meet you. And fantastic.
Well,
thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Sam Byrne, for being with us today and sharing all of your knowledge. And it was just wonderful, and I look forward to continuing in October.
Yes.
So,
thank you.
And have a wonderful trip to Kauai.
I will. Okay.
Ahuiho.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so this was a great show. Thank you, all your listeners, and thank you, Dove, for programming the show. And we'll see you on the 6th. The 6th of April.